for thy hearts are open. We ask that you will teach us, you will help us to be much more fruitful, you increase our wisdom, you increase us in courage, in wisdom, you will help our hearts to grasp, to be matched, and to grow in the virtue of faithfulness. In the name of your Son Jesus Christ, amen. In chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians, in verse 1, it says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ. Praise God. So we said, minister is the one who serves. Who serves? Time will not permit me. I would have loved to go into the anatomy, or what I can describe as the anatomy of a minister. But a minister is simply one who serves. One who serves. Like I said, the moment we are looking at a minister, if one is called a minister, then what is ministering is all over him. Easily seen, easily observed. Part of ministering faithfully is that we do not have to stress ourselves to discover what it is that you minister. It's okay if you are into many other things. It's okay if you are you have other engagements in your life. It's okay if you also do other things in your life. But if you call yourself a minister of something, at something, in an area, then one of the ways that your faithfulness is easily perceived, one of the ways that faithfulness is easily perceived in you, is that we do not have to labor at it to know what it is that you minister, because it is all over you. Hallelujah. It is all over me. I don't find it difficult to recognize a mobile engineer. Except, of course, not at work. Except, of course, he's not on duty. Praise God. I get into a mechanic shop and everyone is dressed to the teeth, clean and neat. And I find a guy dirty over. His palms are black. Most likely you have some oil rubbed on his face. He looks dry, dirty, with sweat all over. It's most likely I'll go to him first to make inquiry. It's most likely if I asked someone to check the vehicle and they direct me to one of the ones that are seated, it's likely I might doubt. Are you sure these ones are mechanics? But I'm directed to him. I mean, I might not doubt. So faithfulness is that what you are doing is also seen in that what you are doing is all over you. Hallelujah. So he says, you are stewards of the mysteries of God. So he explains what we are ministering. He calls us stewards. Stewards of what? Stewards of the mysteries of God. You find the word mysteries in other places in the epistles. Explaining the gospel, the message of redemption, the message of the kingdom of God. So he says in verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So we said that the characteristic of a steward of God or of the mysteries of God is faithfulness. Faithfulness. It is required. It's a trait. Faithfulness is a trait. If it is required, we look out for it. We observe you for it. Oh, the Lord Himself observes you for it. He observes you. Just like the parable that Jesus gave about a vine dresser, a husbandman who cares about a vine. He says, by the time the owner of the garden came, he said, he looked around, he observed. He says, this is not fruitful. He said, bring the axe, let's chew it down. Let's cut it off. And the husbandman came and pleaded and said, no, give it some more time. Fruitfulness. The man was looking out for it. The man was looking out for fruitfulness. So in the same way, God observes you for the virtue of faithfulness. So it is important that a believer, a minister of the gospel, or a worker in a local assembly, because that word ministers of Christ fits for a worker, might not really fit for a believer, because not all believers are responsible. But the moment you're called a worker, here we say a worker in training, or workers in training. Workers in training. The moment you wear that garment or that badge of a worker, the moment you fit into that description in a local assembly of a worker in training, then you qualify as one we can describe as the minister of Christ. We are ministers of Christ. And what are we ministering? We are ministering the mysteries of God. So it says a requirement in the ministry of Christ is what God looks out for, what God observes you for, what God watches out for, what we must look out for in the local assembly, he says, is the virtue of faithfulness. Can someone say faithfulness? Faithfulness. It's therefore important that a Christian, a worker, understands what faithfulness is and is helped to be faithful. Because there is no such virtue which is of God that we cannot grow in. I started out last week by saying, if we are ministers of the mysteries of God, if we are stewards of the mysteries of God, it means the message which we preach. And we said that that message is summarized as the message of the faithfulness of God. 1 Corinthians 1 and 9. It says, God is faithful, by whom we have been called to the fellowship of his Son Jesus Christ. The entire work of redemption is described, the whole covenant. The relationship which we share with God today, the New Testament, is described as the testament of God's faithfulness. The testament of God's faithfulness. The new covenant is described as God's faithfulness. It is called new covenant because it reveals the faithfulness of God. We said faithfulness of God means the consistency of his character. So much that God is predictable. It means a worker in a local assembly, a leader in a local assembly, a pastor in a local assembly, a unit leader, a cell leader, an assistant function, a worker in a local assembly, are we together? Must be predictable. Faithfulness means predictability. 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 That God is faithful. Look at that in the morning. That God is faithful. That God is faithful, that God is reliable, that God is consistent. That God is consistent. that God is reliable, that God is predictable, that God is reliable, God is faithful. So if we are ministers, if we are stewards of that message, I took it to 1 Corinthians 15, explaining that if not for the faithfulness of God, you are yet in your sins. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, it says in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. The scriptures refers to what has been written. So God fulfills what he asks men to write. That fulfillment is why you are saved. Paul is saying that the church of Jesus Christ is who we are today because of the faithfulness of God. The ability to keep to the plan. The ability to stick 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 with or stick to the plan. He calls it faithfulness. Are we together? So he said it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It's a requirement that we look out for. Then if we look out for it, it means it is needed. If we look out for it and it is needed, it means it becomes a training to be communicated. Therefore becomes the work of a pastor, of a leader, of an assembly, the work of Jesus in his church, to train you and I to be faithful or to grow in faithfulness. Praise God. We said in scripture on Saturday that Jesus was faithful. We said Moses was faithful. The writer of Hebrews describes the faithfulness of Moses. We see in scriptures that David was also described to be faithful. Examples of men in scriptures. We see Elisha, faithful Elisha. Obviously, we see faithful Elijah. We see faithful Elisha. We see faithful Joshua. We see faithful Ruth. Ruth was faithful to Naomi. Faithful Ruth. Faithful Ruth. We also see examples of unfaithful men whose end we are not proud to discuss. In 2 Kings chapter 2, which was the text I was leading us to get into, read it last meeting in 2 Kings chapter 2 from verse 1. If you have not forgotten the text, you observe the said concerning Elisha. We saw, are you there? God will call Elijah to go to Bethel in verse 2. And Elisha said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. He says that, are we together? He says that, in verse 5, he says to Jericho, verse 4, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they came. In verse 2, it says, they went down. In verse 4, he says, they came, that is Elisha and Elijah. So you have Jericho, you have Bethel. Are we together? Then we also have, in verse 6, Jordan. As thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on, the two. So, look at this. The moment what we are discussing is faithfulness, are we together? You observe that when we are discussing faithfulness, something is always found coupled with another. Amen. Did you get what I said? In faithfulness, you will find that one is usually tied to what? Why? Because you cannot be said to be faithful, and we cannot see what you are being faithful at. Is it clear? Is it clear? So there is always this twin representation. This twin representation discussing faithfulness. Because there is that which is the mold. There is that which is the instruction. There is that which is the lead. There is that which is the plan, the vision, the foundation. Then there is that which is being coupled to. There is that which is following or attached to or entering into. So whenever we are discussing faithfulness, we are always looking out for a twin representation. That which has occurred and that which is entering into it. That which is foundational, that which is established, and the other one that is being coupled to it. Is it clear, church? So we cannot discuss faithfulness without being able to point distinctively. Are we together? Without being able to point distinctively at what I am being faithful towards. So you observe the two, he says, they went on. That is in verse 6. He says, they came to Jericho. In verse 4, they went down to Bethel. In verse 2. Don't forget what we've said. Don't forget that the sons of the prophet would then come to Elisha, which were at Jericho, which were at Bethel, and which were at Jordan. They came to Elisha. And he said to him, do you know that today your master is going to be taken away from your head, from above your head? Then we saw the response that Elisha gave to this man, that the response were the same. Hallelujah. So I told you three things in faithfulness. Three characteristics of faithfulness that I told you last week. I said number one is that what? In faithfulness, the language of faithfulness is what? Is the same everywhere. The response of faithfulness. Paul is saying, this is a requirement Requirement. It is required. It is required. Required cases in school. You fail them, you are in trouble. When you fail elective courses, we'll let you go. We'll let you go. Let you go. But when you score excellently, elective courses, and you begin to perform woefully at required your core courses in school, then you begin to have issues. So you begin to have issues in church. You begin to have issues in your walk with God. You see a lot of people, they abandon the flock of God then they go elsewhere. They now begin to wonder why they are struggling in the ministry over there. You can never be free from struggle in ministry when you abandon God's flock anywhere. You have to go back there. So, core courses are not meant to be failed. Core courses are not meant to be what? They are not meant to be what? They are not meant to be what? Failed. So, one of the core courses in serving God is what? Is what? Yeah. So look at this. You'll observe that. Let me borrow you the text. I'll talk about it tomorrow in the afternoon. Let me borrow you the text in 1 Timothy. We'll come back to 2 Kings now. So, it is the work of your pastor and your leader. And when you are a leader, it becomes your work to communicate the what? The virtue of what? Of what? Of what? A precept and example. Do we understand? So in 1 Timothy 3, He says, likewise the deacons, find the verse, must be grave, not double-tongued. Can we read together? Not given to what? Much wine, nor. Verse 9. Verse 10. So let them be what? Proved. And then he says, let them use the office of what? Of a deacon. Being what? Blameless. Look at verse 13. Let's read together. For thee that have used the office of a deacon well, so on say faithfulness. They do what? They purchase to what? A what? A what? And great what? That boldness, the word effectiveness. A great what? Boldness in the what? In the faith which is in Christ Jesus. So look at what it says here. Notice it said in verse 9. Look at verse 9 again. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Now, the word holding them, you know, actually means to preach. To preach. The way you handle something in a pure conscience. And he says, let this be first proven. If you look at verse 9 and verse 10, go back to 2 Kings. If you look at the verse 9 and verse 10, what does it show us, church? What does it show us? Verse 9, what is verse 9 talking about? Is verse 9 talking about your grasp of doctrine? And in verse 10, it's talking about what? Faithfulness, right? Right? So look at this. It means, between faithfulness and your grasp of doctrine, which one is more important? They are equally important. Equally important. Are we together? Equally important. We're going to observe that in verse 2, he spoke about the bishop, and he said the bishop should be what? Apt to teach. So the office of a bishop is the one that feeds the flock. So when he said the deacon should be proved, it means that the office of a deacon is preparatory for the office of a bishop. While the deacon will have a grasp of doctrine, he is not given the overall oversight to teach the flock yet. He's still in training. So, there's a difference between the office of a bishop, the office of a deacon. And it's because the deacon is not given the full-fledged right to teach the flock, to determine the doctrinal persuasions of the flock by teaching and guiding them in doctrine. That is the office of a bishop. But you already observe that the deacon is being trained. So he says one of the requirements of the deacon that shows that he is fitted to have oversight. One of the requirements of one who should be considered for oversight before we hand oversight over to him or her is that the person must have a good grasp of doctrine. It is training. And side by side, alongside with that, the person must be found to be what? Faithful. an unfaithful person should not be allowed to lead. Should not be allowed to lead. Should not be allowed to lead. So there's a time, there's a period of time that I am in the church and I'm not given leadership roles or duties over people in the church other than what is general. I'm not given a unique role in the church, and the reason is because I am still growing. But there is also a period that when I am not given leadership roles, I didn't say title, but function in the church, it is because I have been observed not to be what? Faithful. Faithful. Faithful toward training. Faithful toward resources. Faithful toward relationships. Faithful. It is because I have been observed. I have not passed the faithfulness tests. Because look at that text in 1 Timothy 3 again. Look at that text again. Are you there? Verse 10. What does it say? And let this also be what? Proved. Proved. Are we together? Proved. Let this also be proved. Are we together, church? Let this also be what? Who have been proved? Huh? Who is being proved? The deacon. The one to whom we would desire to commit what? The affairs of others. He says, let him be proved. Praise God. He says, let him be what? Let him be proved. And that's what the Spirit of God is saying. Let him be proved. And you're not going to see God come down and say, I'm here to prove you. Are we together? That instruction on proving the fellow, who was the instruction going to? Timothy. Who is Timothy? So who does the proving? We prove you. Your leaders. You are not faithful with relationships. Because we see the way you handle your uncles and aunties. see the way you handle your colleagues at work. Some of you think that you are going to handle your pastor any better than you handle your boss at work. You lie. Some of you think you are going to handle a fellow believer more than you handle a colleague at work. You lie. And I'll show you why. You lie. Tell your neighbor, say, when you think that way, you lie. You lie. You lie. God uses the non-ministerial to groom you for the ministerial. You lie. And in case you think that you have grasped something in the ministry, you feel that you have grasped something in the ministry, do you know where we test it? It is tested outside the ministry. You lie. You lie. How you treat your neighbor in your compound, on your street, in your estate, is reflective of how you treat fellow brothers and sisters in the church. So a proof that you've gotten it right here is that you get it right outside there. When you don't get it right outside there, here, you lie. Tell your neighbor, say you lie. It means you are an hypocrite. You smile, you laugh, welcome 20 people to church. Your teeth are out, your cheeks are wide. Welcome 20 people to church. In this community, right now, right here, you have planted me, and then you are happy. Oh, you are very happy. And then, when you get home, you tell your neighbor, hey, please, avoid me. Avoid me. Why should they avoid you? You are a hypocrite. You're not faithful. They avoid me. Why should they avoid you? Are you a chaos? So in 2 Kings 10, the second thing we saw about faithfulness, we said faithfulness is with the heart that this will be for how long? This will be for how long? This will be for how long? Why am I hearing different answers? This will be for how long? Till the end. And the first thing we said about faithfulness is that the faithful always looks what? Always looks what? At the start. Look at the beginning. Look at the beginning. Look at the beginning. Look at the beginning. Look at the start. Look at how we started. Praise the Lord. So, Moses, in teaching Israel faithfulness to God, would not cease to always remind them of the deliverance. Every time, I am the one who brought you out of. I am the one who brought you out of. The Lord God that brought you out of. Lord God that delivered you out of. The account of the Red Sea was mentioned by Moses several times after the event had happened. And it was all in a bid to instruct them, to charge them to be faithful in their worship of God and not to go whoring after false gods. And they did not keep. They didn't keep it. So you will observe that the moment Elijah was taken from away from his sight, the Bible said he took on the mantle of Elijah in verse 14 of chapter 2, 2 Kings. He fell from him, smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" When he also had spit in the waters, departed hither and thither, and Elisha went. We see two things here, which I'm going to talk about these over the years, okay? But we see two things here. Number one, he says the God of Elijah. Number two, he does exactly what Elijah did. He smote the waters with the mantle. So, it shows that there is a mandate and there is a training. Is it clear, church? You mustn't just be focused on the ministry. You must also be focused on the mold. You must be focused on the mold. You are focused. So, the hanging around, the following of Moses, are we together? Of Elijah, are we together? Elijah's followership of Elijah was actually full of observation. He didn't get to the waters and said, how am I going to split the waters now? How then do I pass across the waters now? He repeated exactly what Elijah did. Smote the waters with the mantle. He smote the waters with the mantle. He smote the water. Verse 8, Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, and smote the waters. That is verse 8. Then verse 14, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters. He smote the waters. Look at me, everybody. Then he says, "Where is the God of what? Elijah." Are we there? Now, obviously, if you're used to reading the Old Testament, you know that he didn't just say, "Where's the God of Elijah?" This must have been the summary of his words and his supplications. But what I'm showing you is that, look at this, the confidence in making a demand for a particular result that the one you are following have seen severally is built on your faithfulness to the methods committed to you. When you are committed to the ministry and its mold, you are committed to the methods, the styles instructed of God. You are committed to the leading of the Spirit of God that has been given to your own leadership, the one you are following, the team you are following, the church you are following. When you acknowledge the directives of God for them and you are faithful at carrying out those instructions, you can expect the same measure of the gift of God to show up. Are you with me? You can expect it. You can expect it. You can expect it. Where is the Lord God? Where is the God of Elijah? In other words, nothing has changed. By mentioning the God of Elijah, he's saying, "I'm here on his mandate." I am here on his mandate. I'm not here to fulfill my mandate. I am here on his mandate. To someone who had gone into a city to plant a work for his pastor, I said, what you're doing, is that what you'll be doing if you were under the pastor there? He said, not exactly. He said, there's nothing like not exactly. He said, but the pastor is this and that. I said, okay, why not get out of that church? Because whatsoever you are doing is not blessed of God. It's not blessed of God. Sent out to start a work. Sent out to carry out an assignment. Sent out to make a purchase. Sent out to pay a visit. Sent out to start a cell. Sent out to assist an ongoing cell. Sent out on a special duty for the church. Sent out to represent the pastor in an event. Sent out to attend a wedding. Sent out on an official ministry assignment. The one who is sent goes with the mindset, I am here on the mandate of the person who sent me. That way, you can expect the gift of God to show up in the same measure. Where is the God of Elijah? That wasn't all he said. He then does what Elijah does. Using the tool Elijah had given him, he uses the mantle on the waters the same way Elijah uses it. Are we together? So, where is the God of Elijah? That statement shows nothing as what? Nothing as what? Nothing has changed. Faithfulness. Nothing has changed. Now we know why none of the other sons of the prophets received the spirit of Elijah. Because their faithfulness was in question. Elijah triumphed in faithfulness. Are we together? Is it safe to say that the most faithful carries the most measure of gifts? Is it safe to say that? That the most what? Faithful will carry the what? The greater measure of what? Of the gift. You can call the gift. The gift is what people call the anointing. The most faithful. The more faithful you are, the more we look at you and see the similarity of measure in the one you claim. To be your pastor. And the similarity of measure is not spoken for by mere words or in mere words. The similarity of measure, look at this. That similarity of measure is seen in what? In fruits, results, and productivity. Wisdom, fruits, results, productivity. So that statement, where is the God of Elijah? Is faithfulness being revealed in Elisha. That statement reveals faithfulness. Are we together? And you know why God responds to faithfulness? Because that's his character. That's his character. That's his character. The move of the Spirit responds to faithfulness. Because that's his character. So faithfulness is to stick with something. Faithfulness is to stick with someone. Elisha is saying, I am wearing Elijah's mantle. I am carrying Elijah's ministry. I am following Elijah's labor and grace. Put differently, Elisha is saying, I am who I am because of what? Elijah. I am the servant of Elijah. Look at me. Look at me. The one who is called to follow, are you listening to me? Does not call himself a servant of God. The one who is called to follow calls himself the servant of the one he is following. Why? 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 Because that is the way God sees you. If that is the way God sees you, hear this clearly. It therefore becomes that perception of yourself is how you will belong in the ministry. That perception of yourself is how you will belong. That humble perception of yourself is how I stay long in the course. Are we together? That is how I stay long. That is how I am sustained. That is how I am kept. That perception of yourself is how you are going to see the gift working in the measure that it ought to work. Look at Joshua chapter 1. Quickly. I'll end the discussion here now. Continue tomorrow. Lessons on faithfulness, the Christian virtue. Are you in Joshua 1? Are you in Joshua 1? Are you in Joshua 1? Quickly. Can we read chapter 1, verse 1? Look at this. If you do not know Joshua, you have not met Joshua. Joshua that parted Jordan. I mean, the sea literally opened before him. He had Moses' results. Joshua that brought down the walls of Jericho. Are we together? And many more. Joshua led the people into their inheritance, divided the lands to them. What Moses was trying to do, Joshua fulfilled it. Listen to me. If God told Joshua, Moses rather, that I wanted your church to be in the 205 nations of the world, and Moses planted a ministry, started a church, started growing the cells, started raising cell leaders, captains of 20, captains of 10, captains of 50, captains of 100. Moses started, gave the mold, presented the teaching, planted pastors in different cities. then that which God told him, that I want your assembly, your church, in all the nations of the world, it was Joshua that actually planted them. So he's not a small boy, Joshua. So if you did not know Joshua before, you are not ready to his exploits. The mighty Joshua. Joshua would go to war, and supernatural beings would come down to fight with him. There were times when Moses, they had warfare. Moses would go to the mountain and would say, do not go fight unless Joshua leads you. Are we together? So, if you didn't know Joshua, now Joshua is writing to you about himself. And chapter 1 verse 1 is what he wants you to know about him. So look at that text. Read for yourselves. Want to go. After the demise of Moses, who is Moses? Who is Moses? Who is Moses? Read on. It came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son. Moses what? So who is Joshua? Does Joshua say, I am the servant of God? Does Joshua say, I am the servant of the Lord? Joshua sees himself. Joshua sees himself. Now, look at this. Why does Joshua see himself? Look at verse 2. Everybody, want to go? Moses, my servant, is there. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto you. So it wasn't just that Joshua saw himself that way. That was how the Lord saw him. The one who will continue. The one who will fulfill. Put it differently. The one that will extend Moses' mandate. The one who will extend Moses' mandate. The one who will establish extension of Moses' ministry, Moses' mandate, Moses' vision. This is biblical faithfulness. That in following, I see myself as the servant of the one I have been called, except you are not called of God to follow, obviously. Are we together? But the one I am called to follow, I see myself as the servant of the one I am called to follow. As one who establishes, extends his mission, extends his ministry. We young people ought to learn this. Joshua is saying, I am who I am because of Moses. The Lord is saying to Joshua, you are who you are because of Moses. I am meeting you to talk to you because you are following Moses. Or else, you have number 600th place in my plan. You'll probably be feeling number 1030 something. But I'm talking to you next. Because this man has called you and say you should do this. He shows up on my behalf because he wants to keep his word with the one he had given the vision to. He shows up on my behalf because he will keep his word to the one he gave the vision to. Are we together, church? So when I am sent on a mission by someone, are we together? God expects that you will do what you were told. Why does God expect that I would do what I was told? Because that's his character. That's his character. That is his character. Are we together? And God tries us. We go look at it later. God tries us. God tries us by providing us with opportunities to be faithful. We are trained either by God or by the leader in faithfulness by the opportunities that comes our way, opportunities to demonstrate our faithfulness. So the way we are trained and tested is by the opportunities that comes to us to present ourselves as what? Faithful. The opportunities that come to us. That means, hear this clearly, it depends on the way you hear. The same opportunities that are presented or that present themselves to you, or the same situations that present opportunity to you to show yourself faithful, are the same situations that test your faithfulness. How do they test your faithfulness? By giving you the opportunity to be unfaithful. You will see chances to be unfaithful. You will see opportunities to be unfaithful. Opportunities to say things. Are we together? Opportunity to go after strange gods. Then Israel will show themselves as faithful. Opportunity to run your own vision, to run your own mandate. Opportunity to use a resource for your own gain. And when you choose to be faithful, number one, you are trained to be faithful. And secondly, you pass the test of faithfulness. What happens when we pass the test of faithfulness? We are going to see. So faithful people don't do otherwise when they are alone. The faithful man does not do otherwise because you are not there. Because you are not there. They will do the same thing that they will do when you are there. That means they will do the same in service. What they will do when the pastor is present in pastor's absence. They will do in the cell meetings. They will do in follow-ups, personal meetings with disciples. They will do things behind you as they do when you are present. They will handle resources, people, associations, privileges, opportunities, responsibilities, resources, opportunities, privileges. They will handle it as though you are seated there. For example, a faithful pastor explains the scriptures as though Jesus is seated in the service. He does not twist the scriptures for his gain. The faithful minister will not serve the people's cause in expense of the cause of their leader. In expense of the Lord's cause. They don't serve the people's cause. They serve the originally agreed cause. That is why I said they always look at the beginning. In faithfulness, it is not people over the instructions. It is the vision over the people. They care more about what was agreed upon than public opinion. they care more about what was discussed at the initial point, what was agreed upon when the privilege, when the resource was being handed. They care more about that than they care about the realities on the road. The faithful man stays with the vision. The vision. He stays with the vision. Praise the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 25. In Proverbs 25, I'll read from verse 19. Look at what the writer of Proverbs says. He says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a what? A broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Interestingly, I've experienced both before. A broken tooth aches you to the skull. You can't eat with it, yet it can be removed. A foot out of joint, a dislocation. You can't walk with it. You can't walk with it. And it will not leave. You can't walk with it. You cannot walk with unfaithful person. You can't walk with an unfaithful person. No matter how skilled you are, you become unuseful when you are not faithful to the Lord, to the vision of Jesus, to the ministry where you are, to the man of God over the house. Are we together? So in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says, it is a requirement in stewards that a man be found faithful. So my faithfulness to God is by being faithful to his cause through men. My faithfulness to God is seen in my faithfulness to his cause through men. This includes those you are following and those that are following you. Is it clear? You are also faithful to the people following you. You are faithful to them. You do not abuse them. You do not abuse their honor. Don't say, oh, he will honor me. You also live life worthy of honoring. Don't say, oh, people will walk in love. Part of love walk is you not tempting people to dishonor you. Part of honor, part of love walk and honor walk is to not provoke those who are under you that you have the privilege of leading. It could be family, siblings, or children. It could be at work, lower staffs, lower employees, or employees in general, maybe because you are the boss. Are we together, church? That means if you're a leader over there, you pay your salaries in time. You pay your salaries in time. You pay your salaries in time. You discharge your duties and responsibilities. Honor walk. So faithfulness is both ways, to the flock under you and to those you are leading. And to those who are leading you, rather, the ones you're following, faithfulness is both ways. So how am I faithful to the flock? What is faithfulness to the flock? Then what is faithfulness to the leaders? What is faithfulness to my leader? Are we together, church? Faithfulness in the way we treat people, because the way I treat people is the way God will see me. That's the truth. The way God sees you, the way you treat people, is the way God will see you. The way you treat people is the way God will see you. The way you treat people is the way God will see you. In the ministry, the way you treat people is the way God will see you, including outside the work of a ministry. The way you treat people. If you steal people's resources, you are a thief, and God sees you that way, that you are a stealing Christian, and He will not bless you because you are an idol worshiper. You believe in your skills and your cunningness to establish you through life, He will not bless you. The way you treat people is the way God sees you. Are we together, church? He will not bless you. As I told you, as some people will abandon God's flock. You are told to lead the people. He said, because there are two or three, then you abandon them. How will God anoint you as king over Israel? Eliab, brother Eliab. How will God anoint you as king over Israel when you looked at David and you called your father's flock the few sheep? He can't. He cannot. The way you treat people is the way God will see you. And God will respond to you. Some years ago I told you that one of the major faults in how I've explained God, I told you in this church, I acknowledged it, that one of the major faults in how I have taught God's word over the years, before that particular year, are we together? Was I allowed to tell you that I've taught God as one who does not react to what we do, but God actually reacts. He responds and reacts to our actions. So no matter what you do, you just sit down on what one heavenly chair. Some people think God is just like a sky daddy that is sitting on a chair being fanned by some angels, with a fan that is blowing breeze at him, making him happy. Anything that happens on the earth, he just slides like someone under the influence of a laughing gas. Anything that happens on the earth, Christians are cute, it's just like how many Christians died? He said, it's 6,000 Christians died in that city, were persecuted, in they were killed, they were murdered in so so years. No. That's why many times when we read through the Old Testament books, you will see, we're going to see that story later on, you will see the emotions of God are described as God's spirit. The emotions of God were described as the spirit of God. The spirit of God was used to describe the emotions of God, because He responds and reacts to the activities of men on the earth, including His church, His children. So you see people abandon a flock of God, says, oh, take care of these people, take care of these people, a cell leader, assistant cell leader, a fellowship coordinator, assistant coordinator, pastor these people. Then you escape. Say, I have a visa. I have a visa. Then you escape. Then you go to a foreign land and you begin to have foreign experiences in ministry. Whatever you do there will never be blessed. Especially when it comes to ministry. You have money.
Having money is just about working and you get paid. You have money. But you now see, same people now want to start a church or start a ministry or join a ministry. You just observe that you are struggling with ministry. You are struggling with establishing disciples. You are struggling with prayer. Why am I struggling with prayer? Why am I struggling with having a disciple? Why am I struggling with starting a cell there? You have abandoned a cell. I'm going to show you that part of the faithfulness of David was that when he was going to go to war, the Bible said he found an hireling. He found a keeper and he told him to keep the sheep. Obviously, temporarily. You want to travel with it after you have traveled that we are now calling you up. Please, who is in the cell today? Please, did you arrange who should open the prayer? Did you arrange who should do this? I forgot. You cannot grow that way. See, that is the reason why you are struggling. Let me tell you something. Look at me. Now, I know I'm bringing the word to you regarding the ministry, but this is exactly what happens in every aspect of your life. The moment you find yourself struggling in an area, is a sign of unfaithfulness in that area. Take it or leave it. Including, look at me, your health. Including your health. Did you eat when you should eat? Did you eat the right thing? Obviously, I'm not talking about someone who is ill and is trying to get well. I'm talking about someone who is dealing perpetually. Every now and then, you can't sustain health. Check something. Check it. Struggling with keeping up in your academics. Check it. Are you faithful with night classes? Are you faithful? Are you faithful with assignments, with the weekly quota of reading? Are you faithful? So the moment you observe there is a struggle, struggle means tussle. Today I have it, tomorrow is off, next tomorrow I have it, the other day is off, next tomorrow I have it. It is an unfaithfulness issue that you are having. An unfaithfulness issue. So you will find a faithful unbeliever who will do well honestly in that area. Because every day, I learned someone told me some months ago. He said, there is no weekend or so. Was it weekend or month? I think one of that. That I think it has to be. Well, I'm not sure now. But he said, maybe it's weekend or month. I think it has to be month. Well, maybe he said weekend. He said, there is no weekend or there is no month that in that month, he says he goes to a place now. He does podcasts. He releases podcasts online. So he has been able to grow his channel massively because of consistency. He said, how are you able to do it? And then he says, I think he said there is no weekend or so that he does not prepare. He says he sits down and he prepares at least a dozen podcasts every weekend. I don't know what frequency he releases the podcast, but he says he does that over the years. He says every weekend he will sit down, maybe every month. He says he will prepare. I didn't say he will post, so he will just sit down and keep recording, and he done that faithfully. So he is never stranded with a glory dim and his consistency. He says, no. He's an unbeliever. And he's very successful at it. So the way I observe that today, get it? Do we get it? Faithfulness is how what?
We receive more. Like I told you earlier, it is the work of your pastor to teach you by precept and by example on the virtue of what? Faithfulness. Look at me, everybody. Faithfulness is how we receive what? More. More. More customers in your business. Faithfulness with the ones you have. More solid and loyal friendships. Faithfulness with the few ones around. Faithfulness. 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 More disciples. What's the answer? With who? With who? More people in the leadership of a church. What's the answer? Faithfulness. With who? Open your mouth. With who? With what? With the current leadership. Are we together? Are we together? Faithfulness. I know there will be that question. How then do I demonstrate faithfulness in this area? Get it? With faithfulness. Interestingly, the issue of faithfulness, are we together? Many times, is already known in your heart as you are learning God's word. So where you fail is your laziness to act on what you are hearing. When we are faithful, pray for me, we receive more. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? For example, look at this. Imagine a brother walks up to me. Imagine Bro Sam walks up to me, Oshimi, and then says, sir, I need some money for my business. Then I look at Bro Sam and say, ah, wow, what kind of business do you do? Well, how much do you need? I need about 250,000 and I take 250,000 and I give to Bro Sam. Then he puts it in the business. Or let's say he just decides to do differently. Give him 250,000. Then he takes 60,000, changes his shoes. I'm not saying that's what he will do. He changes his shoes. Then he takes some 20-25,000. Ah, how can I focus in business when I'm hungry? A very honest evaluation. And then he puts biscuits, cabin biscuits, including some oats, all sorts of things, and he stocks it. Then he says, how can I be having something in my account and people around me are suffering? Then just look at one or two of his friends. Just take 20, take 15. The hard man would have given, we just manage it. So, money remains maybe around 70,000 there. Then he puts the 70,000 there into the business. And then the process of the business, he still uses it anyhow. Then he comes back to me after like 3-4 months and says, sir, thank you for the other day. But sir, I just want to tell you that I actually need some money for business. So I go over what he does with his 250,000 there. Now, interestingly, there is also the brother Mayowa, who is also having another business. And I give him also the 250,000 there. Then Bro Mayowa takes the entire 250,000 there and he puts it into the business. He buys the tools,
he does marketing with it. He pays for advertisements, he pays for some tools, he buys some raw materials, and then he puts the whole money, and then the faucet of proceeds, he takes a portion, he pays himself, and then he turns the rest, the remaining profit into the business, and he turns it over. And then he comes to me, and I say, okay, you, what is the worth of your business? From the 250 I gave to you, he says, I actually have about, I looked at it, we calculated it, it's about 20 something thousand naira worth left. And then the other brother says, oh, the 250,000 that you give to me, I've turned it over four times. It is now worth 1 million naira, both in cash at hand and the value of the items, the stocks on ground. And then both comes to me to get more money. Who do you think I will give more money to? Who will I give it to? Who do you expect me to give it to? I will give it to the one who has used it what? Faithfully. Now, did you observe that using it faithfully meant that they used it for why I gave them? Are we together? Are we together? They used it for what? So, faithfulness is that, what did we discuss? Not what happened on the road. What did we discuss? What did we agree on? If you had told me you needed money for food, for shoes, for this, yeah, I would probably also have given you, but what did you ask me money for? What did you use it for? Then this one turns it over four times. He makes more money with it. Definitely, I'm going to give him more money, isn't it? Is it this? Look at it. Who will I give money to that will make you to call me a wise investor? Who will I give money to? I will give it to the one who has demonstrated what? Faithfulness through discipline and focus. Look at this. In God's business, lives are the capital. I close here. Lives. The same way we invest money into businesses. Look at me, everyone. God invests men and women into churches, into churches. The same way that we put money in businesses. Lives are God's own investment and capital. God invests into our work by the men and the women that He gives us. The men and the women that He sends us are God's investment. So when I'm praying to reach more, a requirement for that, or I am actually making a request for God to add more people. When I'm praying to reach more, it is a request for God to invest more. A requirement is what I have done with the one He has invested. So men and women sent us are God's investments. God responds to what we do with them. Are we together? God responds to what we do with people. Tell it us. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Assistant cell leaders, can you hear me? Can every worker in training here hear me? What did I say God does? God responds and reacts to what we do with the people He what? He brings our way or He leads us to. God reacts to the way you treat your pastor. God reacts to it. Because He has led you to Him. God reacts to the way you treat the flock, your disciples, the cell. Because those ones, He has led you to them. On outreach, look at me everybody, look at me. You and I now can agree that it is not a small feat to win a soul. Talk less of inviting them into church. Talk less of establishing them. Talk less of growing them into becoming a worker. Talk less of replicating your own mission in them. It's not a small feat.
is a strong man's work. So when you find one who believes the gospel, is God's investment. When he moves from believing the gospel into showing up in the services, it's God's investment. Into being available to be taught and trained into the workforce, it's God's investment. Into carrying out the ministry and being a good worker in the church, not a bad example, that is God's investment. The man and the woman that he brings our way, the men and women that he leads us unto, is God's investment. And he responds, he observes, he watches how we treat them. He observes how we treat them, how faithful we are with them. So in God's work, lives are like money. He's a clear judge. What do you do with money? You care for it. You manage money. A businessman, you manage money. In fact, as a businessman, you must go and learn how to manage the money that is attached to that kind of business before we can hand over serious investment into you, into your head. So the same way, you go and learn how to handle the people that comes into your life through that means of ministry. Part of faithfulness with people is that you are available to be taught and trained on how to handle them. We keep watch over money. We keep watch over people. We keep watch on each naira. We keep watch on each person, their welfare, their health. How is the health of the workers in your cells as a cell leader? How is the bodily health? As a disciple, a worker in training in the church, how is the health of the people you are discipling? How is the health? Cell members, how is the health of the members of the cell? Are we together? We trust God that in this day and the coming days, there will be no wastage. We will have productivity. We will be productive by the wisdom of God. I didn't say lives are money. I said they are like money. I didn't say when you see people, you should begin to think of money. I didn't say that. I said it's just like you're managing. Just like you are caring for the flock. One of the reasons why the word flock, sheep, was used to describe the saints is because they are a people who need to be cared for. When he told Peter, feed the flock, is to show Peter that the people have given to you are not meant to care for themselves. They are meant to be cared for. The flock refers to a people who flourish by being cared for. By being cared for. So what are we doing with the men and the women that he has committed into our hands? In the cells, in the units, in the church, as disciples, what are you doing with your leaders? Your leaders, what are you doing with it? What are you doing there? What you do with your leaders, others will do with you. That's if you become one. That's if you ever become a leader. That's if you ever become a cell leader. That is if you ever become a unit leader. Some of you, from the trait I'm seeing in you, you will never be a cell leader in this church. With that trait, right here, under my watch, in this same group I'm talking to, not in the church, in this workforce, some trait I'm seeing, you will not lead any unit. We will not. A time will not come that we say go and start a work. We will not. We will not. We will not. Except there is that adjustment. Except there is that change. The way you treat your leader, the way you treat other members of the church, the way you treat people outside the church, the way you treat resources given to you. We give you money, you didn't account for it, and you expect that you will lead a cell or assist? No.
The Lord will, the leading of the Spirit will not comfort us. We will not be led by the Holy Ghost. Because the one who proves you ready to undertake the bishop office is the pastor. Is the pastor. Am I saying start doing everything to please the pastor? Obviously, no. I'm saying use the resources given to you properly, including the training of ministry. Use it properly. Men are expensive to come by. Disciples are expensive to come by. We all know that strong disciples, strong believers, hungry for the word, hungry for prayer, hungry for evangelism, hungry for the Lord, are hard to come by. It is a very tasking work to make a man, to get a man saved, and to train him to a point where he begins to see the ministry and to walk in it effectively. That process costs a lot. Can't you see it costs a lot? It costs so much prayer. It costs so much laying on of hands. It costs so much teaching. It costs so much fasting. It costs so much resources. Can you not see it already even costs your own resources? It costs so much follow up. It costs so much. The disciple in your hands is too expensive to not be accountable for them. Then the disciple is having a serious experience somewhere to communicate the experience of that disciple to pastor. He said, "You forgot. No, you are crazy. You are a wasteful person." A disciple is going through a serious experience, a health issue, to go and check and run around and be there and strengthen and help and support. There are already people around him. You cannot have one disciple. You cannot. So you observe why the one who has been able to train one is bringing others in. How? And the one who has not been able to reach or raise any is still not able to reach or raise any. The Lord rewards faithfulness also. It's not every time that the people are the ones that are difficult. There are times when the grace of God is also included in the work of the one who is faithful, because he is faithful. As a wise master builder, the Lord as a wise master investor. Are we together, church? If you go to those who do God's work well, properly, they will tell you that strong Christians are hard to come by, and growth in the ministry is by total dedication. Let's be dedicated to people. Be dedicated to the vision, to the resources, to the training. Be committed to it. How am I committed to it? Think about it. How many hours of the day do you think about your disciples? How many hours of the day do you think about yourself? How many hours of the day are your leaders in your mind? You are thinking about them. And then you use your words for them also. You know, you can confess your leader into effectiveness. You can confess a disciple into effectiveness. If you can confess a disciple into seriousness and effectiveness, what then makes you think you cannot confess your leader into material prosperity and focus and sound health
and into miracles of supply. You can confess your leaders, fellow workers, into stability in the ministry, into fruitfulness, into increase of many sorts, into focus, into decisiveness, into strength. Let us be faithful. Let us be faithful. Let us be faithful. I trust God that in this day that the world is coming to us on fullness, we will find coming alongside with this the grace of God to make the word fruitful in our lives. And I pray that the hand of God that is upon us is stronger day by day. Stronger day by day. Pray in the Holy Ghost right there where you are. That our faithfulness is helped of God. It becomes supernatural. We are helped beyond our frailties. Oh Lord, 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 Lord God. That the faithful God, in whose spirit the virtue of faithfulness is released, we ask that the virtue of faithfulness is poured out in our hearts tonight. Poured out in our hearts tonight. As we grow, as we see, as we look, as we walk, as we pray, as we sing, as we are willing, oh Lord, you will pour upon us. You will pour upon us. You will pour upon us. Practical faithfulness. You will pour upon us. As a church, practical faithfulness. You will pour upon us. As a workforce, practical faithfulness. You will pour upon us. Faithfulness with resources. Faithfulness with relationships. Faithfulness with privileges. Faithfulness with influence. Faithfulness with followership. Faithfulness with the access to our leaders. Faithfulness with the ministry of the world. Faithfulness with our youthful strength, our youthful age. Faithfulness with the doors that you open unto us. Faithfulness with the instructions that we are privileged to hear and to receive. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. You will help our faithfulness, O Lord. Faithfulness with the word, faithfulness with the insights, faithfulness with the instructions, faithfulness with our meetings, faithfulness with our leaders, faithfulness with our disciples, faithfulness with the company of the saints, faithfulness with the benevolence of the saints. Lord, you will help us to be faithful with the generosity of other believers around us. We will not abuse other people's generosity. We will not abuse other people's generosity. We will not abuse other people's generosity. We will not abuse other people's love warmth. We will not abuse other people's compassion. That the eyes of our understanding is enlightened. That we may know how we ought to be faithful and how we can walk in our faithfulness. We trust you. Lord, we trust you. Jesus, we trust you. That we may have increase in our hands. And the ones who are not able to bring forth fruit yet will bring forth many. And the ones who are bringing forth fruits will yet bring forth much more. Jesus, we trust you. We trust you, Lord. connection with us, who hear God's word again along the lines of faithfulness, and we trust Him that our walk in His word will be with ease, but to be supernatural. No one man will struggle with what we're hearing. One of the things that happens when we're getting an emphasis in God's word, similar to when God is leading us to pray about something, is that there is grace to get into that flow at that moment. Yeah. So we trust God and walk in that much more in these seasons.